ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
ABC Cricket Podcast time with your boys, Corbin Middlemass and Ed Cowan, at the completion of the Ashes series. 18 days of cricket, and after day five of the fifth test, we are done. Australia 4, England 1. A five-wicket victory for the Aussies, which was closer to tea on day five than it was closer to the lunch break. My name's Corbin Middlemass. I'm still at the Sydney Cricket Ground. Now, not alongside me, unfortunately, today. He's in an undisclosed location some hour and a half or so after the test finishing. His name is Ed Cowan. Hello, Teddy.
Corb, I'm still at work. And I've still got my microphone. Disaster.
Oh, no. Well, the good thing is, when I forgot my microphone, you were very forgiving of me. So that's I'll be the same with you. So.
I was. I appreciate the empathy. Beautiful, yes. Beautiful. How are you feeling after the series? I know it takes a lot out of you emotionally.
Yeah. Well, there's a bit of a false dawn for me. So you have this release. You're off air and been melting out in the Sydney sun as part of the presentation, which awesome place to be. But also, I was perspiring quite a bit. Got upstairs. Everyone's sitting around having a beer, and I thought, hang on. I've got one more thing I've got to do. So that's not the end of the series as yet. Once we've knocked this out and ticked the last commitments, I'll be able to let my head down a little. And then we'll be back again doing it tomorrow, Teddy, with our usual Friday drop.
Well, that's perfect. That means we can get through today quickly. Short days play, short days analysis.
I like it. So as it all turns out, England won the toss in four out of the five games. Australia won four out of the five tests, and that's exactly what happened here in Sydney. So a five-wicket win for the Aussies. Jacob Bethell trying to bat with the lower order. In the end, he was the first man out. England lost their last two wickets for 40 runs. And Mitchell Starc picked up both those wickets, so he ends up with 31 wickets for the series. And then the Aussies chasing 160 to win. Must be said, wasn't a straight line to the finish. There was a number of starts. There was a run out. There was a few little calamitous moments, but ultimately Alex Carey hit the winning runs, and there was never really a point, despite the fact there were a few hiccups where you thought they weren't going to win. So the day, firstly, before we look at the series overall and the celebrations, what was your biggest take out of day five, as it was of the fifth test?
Well, I thought when Will Jack spun one from six stump through the gate to knock over one of the best modern players of spin bowling, I thought, I think Australia are lucky they're not chasing any more than 160 here, because that could have got tricky. They did have a little wrinkle or two. England dropped more catches right when the moment could have been given to them to maybe create a little bit of chaos late on a day five SCG pitch. But in the end, you know, between the lack of runs that they scored in this test and their poor fielding, I think that was their 20th drop catch for the series. Maybe, correct me if I'm wrong, it'd be close to that, and it cost them over 500 runs. So in the end, the right team not only won the series, but won it well.
Twice as many drop catches for England compared to Australia across the course of the series. It was a big day. I mean, it was a beautiful day for cricket, obviously, here at the SCG, if not on a little on the warm side. Usman Khawaja, obviously, walking out to bat for the final time. He missed out and was chopped on for six. But then we got the moment that we'd hoped for, one, for him to walk out. He got a guard of honour on the way out there. And then when he was dismissed and sort of dropping down to his knees in prayer in front of the thanks Aussie sign and the green roof grandstands, and he goes out as the 15th leading run scorer in the history of Test cricket, nestled between Michael Hussey and Neil Harvey. So 6,229 runs at an average of just under 43, so 42.95. So we sat here last night and spoke about, you know, is there a way we can manufacture it to give Uzi a hit? In the end, he came out at his usual position at number five, and there was the number seven walked out after him.
Yeah, look, he got that moment in the sun, and the joy of the Sydney test, I think, is the Sydney crowd often sees these great players retire, be it Warner or Warne or Langer or McGrath. You know, it's kind of etched in the psyche of the test match almost, that at some stage one of the big players goes out and you get to give them the ovation they deserve. So, yeah, I'm sure he would have liked to be not out at the end, but wasn't to be.
The Man of the Match award, that went the way of Travis Head. So I saw a stat from Nick Savage at the completion of the test. I don't know what the official number is, but Travis Head now has more Man of the Match awards than Virat Kohli in his test career. It's incredible the way he's sort of stringing those together at this time of his career. It feels like he's playing the best cricket of his career right now. We know that. And really, if he was named Man of the Series, he wouldn't look at, he wouldn't have looked out of place as that either on the back of a 600-run tournament. 600-run series, and then also obviously the 300s to go along with it.
Yeah, what we know about Travis Head is he gets runs often when others don't, and those runs stand out, and they're often match-winning runs. And when that is how you play the game, you know, counter-attacking, very positive, it's no surprise as to those contributions being match-winning innings and being awarded such accolades. So the big thing here is these were all done opening the batting. That was not on our bingo card at the start of the series, that Travis Head would score 600 plus runs, 200 more than the next player in the series, and having done them facing the new ball. And so definitely could have been thought of coming in at five, but in a different role and to dominate the series the way he did. I mean, phenomenal. And in many respects has probably changed the dynamics of this team moving forward and his role rolling forward.
Well, we know how much Australia love an aggressive opener and really who the replacement was going to be for David Warner. They probably found an answer that was hiding in plain sight, and maybe that the conversation will continue around Jack Weatherald as to what that looks like for him. I mean, it's going to be a very fascinating test match, I think, up against Bangladesh in August, and maybe it'll be a little out of sight, out of mind, given that the footy codes will be headed towards finals at that time of the year here in Australia. But I think for cricket fans, I'm fascinated as to what the team looks like when we get there. I mean, really, for a lot of our players domestically, there's going to be no red ball cricket after the end of March. Then basically, all the Australian contracted players are, you know, and the domestic contracted players are on holidays, they're on leave. And then unless you're playing in England, it's sort of hard to think, you know, what the preparation's going to look like before now that first test against Bangladesh. There's going to be a lot of guys you'd think that are going to be coming out cold, and there's going to be a lot of form lines that I think the selectors are going to have to lean on that's probably going to be 3 or 4 months old by the time they put that team together.
Yeah, I don't think they'll rely on form lines at all. I mean, such is the nature of Test cricket. Yeah, it is a 12-month proposition, and selectors are used to having to kind of draw some through lines from previous tours and experiences. It's the kind of series up in the top end that it's less about form and more, you know, if you are putting together that team, it's not what have you done to get in the team, it's have you done anything to get yourself out of the team. And it's a different framing, and there's probably only two players in that category, and then they kind of just drop down to the next rung of who is best to replace them, irrespective of form. And so those two players in my mind are probably Weatherald and Green. And so unless either one of those have a huge back end of the domestic season, and of course in Cameron Green's case, he won't be given that opportunity with the World T20 into the IPL, it becomes a fascinating kind of watch, but it won't be anything other than, you know, who can force their way in rather than who hasn't done enough to keep their place in the team, if that makes sense.
No, absolutely. I mean, he was given 5 test matches here to absolutely bed down that spot as his. And I think it's fair to say he hasn't exactly done that yet. Whether he gets the opportunity in August or not, it's another thing. Darren Lehman spoke about it post-play with us, where he basically said, look, it's one thing he needs to go back and score some runs and dominate the back end of the Shield season to keep his place. But he also actually needs to make the adjustments that you've spoken about across the last 5 or 6 weeks. So, you know, can he solve that part of his game in the back end of the Shield season? So it's not just about scoring runs. It's about, you know, addressing the weaknesses that got exposed here at test level.
Yeah, sometimes it is about the how. And we talked about this, you know, I think it was after day 2 or 3. Usually it's the how many, but sometimes when there's you know, a little bit of shade cast over a player as to the type of dismissal, often it is, you know, determined that next step around selection is, has that mechanical or technical error been fixed? And so they'll be watching closely for sure.
I know there's a lot of Englishmen that feel like this was a missed opportunity for England down under. Obviously, there was so much optimism when they headed here. Even here in Sydney, Teddy, there was still a lot of thought about the fact that, you know, is this a missed opportunity for England, or have they been beaten by a better team? And as more and more guys are unavailable for Australia, no Cummins, no Hazelwood, no Lyon, it felt like that narrative was getting pushed again as England had a win in Melbourne and were, you know, played some reasonable cricket at times here in Sydney. Does a 4-1 scoreline at least reflect a little more of what we saw, and we can lean more into, look, Australia were just the better team, as opposed to, you know, England weren't prepared, and until they got their cricket legs under them, we didn't see the best of them.
Yeah, I think you're a brave man to suggest that the scoreline didn't reflect what we saw right throughout the five tests. And, you know, test cricket has its ebbs and flows, and the joy of the game is teams are always presented with opportunities to win. And they need to take the initiative to grab them, run with them, move momentum in their direction, and ultimately capitalize on it. And at no stage did they do that. The only test match that they won was on a wicket that was deemed unsatisfactory by the ICC. So, yes, we can look back. There were moments. And, you know, for listeners of this podcast, we pinpointed them. In Perth, it was at 1 for 100 in the second innings. In Brisbane, it was probably when Root and Stokes were playing with ease and Stokes got run out. And every test match had these moments. And yet we sit here at 4-1 and, you know, I still struggle to think how on a reasonable surface in Melbourne, that wouldn't have been 5. I saw nothing from their bowling attack to suggest that they could bowl consistently enough on a reasonable surface to take 20 wickets for less than Australia would take 20 wickets of England. And so I think Australia out bowled them with, you know, pretty much their second string attack, and you know, and without their frontline spinner. They out batted them by far, and, you know, the key differentiators we keep talking about was their ability to take not just catches but match-winning catches. And you can think about those moments right through the series, whether it was Labuschagne at the Gabba or in Adelaide, or, you know, Inglis's run out in the field, or even Weatherall's run out yesterday. They're all great pieces of fielding that enabled momentum to shift in Australia's favour.
Spoke to Travis Head post-game too on Grandstand at Stumps, and I asked him what he felt the difference was in the series, or how he'll remember it. And he basically said, look, I felt like we won all the big moments, that when the big moments came along, we won way more of them than what they did. And ultimately, that was the difference. He also had a little cheeky line, as he often does, Travis Head, as Australia's most popular cricketer, as I think he's it's pretty safe to say he's that. He was asked about his dismissal in the second innings, where he came dancing down the track and tried to hit one out of the park and got caught in the deep. And he basically responded to Darren Lehman, who had said to him, oh, you just got a good one today. He said, oh, I wanted to know what it felt like to sit in the in the England dressing room, where guys had sort of thrown their wicket away at times and come walking back in. So he said, I got that experience today and coming back into the dressing room. So there was one little parting barb from Travis Head with tongue obviously firmly in cheek there. England, their biggest series of their lives, as Brendan McCullum dubbed it. So I saw Matt Roller tweet the record now against India and Australia, their two chief rivals, under Brendan McCullum, 7 wins, 12 losses. And 2 draws in the time that they've had. So we know McCullum will stay on, at least in the short term. There's a T20 World Cup around the corner, but we'll talk more, I'm sure, tomorrow about what comes next for England. The Compton Miller Medal is the player of the series, went the way of Mitchell Starc. So 31 wickets at 19. It's just the fifth occurrence of a player taking 30-plus wickets in the last 25 years. So this millennium, I think Warne did it twice, McGrath did it once, and, of course, Johnson, the last to do it in 13-14. And what a demon he is, Mitchell Starc. Did you have not any issue with it, but if you were picking the award, would you have been trying to advocate for Travis Head or anyone else when someone said, hey, I reckon we should give it to Mitchell Starc?
Yeah, pretty hard to argue against it. And it is a series, you know, reminiscent of Mitchell Johnson's series, for sure. You know, it not just spoke to the skill, but also the ability to back up, and the nature to which he treats his recovery and his body. You know, I know for a fact, even after Adelaide, You know, I sent him a note saying you've enjoyed a beer, and he said not till after Sydney, because you know, back-to-back tests and fast bowling is, you know, they don't necessarily go hand in hand. So he's so focused on making sure every day counts when he's wearing the baggy green, and we saw that. So what got him over the line, probably in the man of the series, was probably the runs, to be honest, because you know he took you know a 30% more wickets than the next guy, but Travis Head scored 30% more runs than the next guy too. So you know, on a series where runs were pretty hard to come by and wickets weren't that hard to come by, you know, you could probably edge Travis Head ahead. But then you look at the runs that Mitch Stark scored, and you know, for a lower order player to average, I don't know, 24 or 25, whatever it was, and those contributions, I think probably put his nose ahead. So no issue from me. I think I had him ahead last night when we spoke about it, and a couple of wickets this morning only solidified that.
We'll talk more about this tomorrow and the big picture and going forward and what it looks like and reflections on the series overall tomorrow, of course, Monday and Friday here on the ABC Cricket Podcast. Love seeing Pat Cummins there to lift the crystallised urn. He was in his whites. Nathan Lyon was out there in his team shirt as well, which sort of brings me to how you'll remember this year's Ashes series. And it sort of feels to me like the series I'll remember for this great, generational Australian team that's, filled with all these Hall of Fame bowlers, as the one that they had to get done by committee. I mean, 16 members played along the way. So no Inglis, no Doggett, Lyon, Cummins, Richardson here in Sydney, plus the 11. So 16 squad members. I mean, we've seen this dominant team roll through series sometimes with like 11, 12, 13 players. And yet it took 16 to get it done. And yet the scoreline's, pretty familiar, 4-1 in favour of the Aussies. Is there anything in particular that comes to mind, Teddy, outside of that for you where you think, when someone asks you in 10 years' time about this team in this series, what will you recall?
No, I'll probably recall big players standing up in big moments to win games. And so, you know, the thing that's etched in my mind, and I probably won't forget it in a hurry, is Travis Head's second innings 100 in Perth. To on a wicket that certainly wasn't easy to bat on, but the way to which he managed to wrestle momentum back and win the game almost single-handedly. You know, and whether it was him or Alex Carey in Adelaide, the best players in the Australian team stood up when it counted to play match-winning performances. So that's probably how I'd characterize the series.
Any final thoughts, Teddy, before we park the rest of it, put it on the docket and go again tomorrow?
2027, not that far away when you think about it. 18 months to work through what this team looks like. England will obviously be incredibly, you know, disappointed with where their series ended, but I'm sure they're already looking forward to trying to have a crack at them in 27.
Pitch rating out of 10.
I thought this was as close to a 10 as we've seen in a long time at the SCG.
Okay.
Well, tell me I'm wrong.
Yeah. No, I thought it was an absolute cracker, but I think it was also more what I was arguing for in Melbourne, that if you're going to err on one side, if you're going to err more favouring the bat as opposed to erring favouring the bowlers, this is what you want, and this is what we got. It was a pretty flat deck. It was good to bat on. It wasn't as much variable bounce maybe as perhaps as what we're anticipating. It took spin late, seemed early, or with the new ball, and ultimately we got a result. There was no problem getting 20 wickets. And you feel like if the game went another, 50 overs or whatever, which there was probably 50 overs left in the day, England would have got another 5 wickets, and ultimately they would have been able to take 22, and it was decided inside 5 days. So, I think if we're going to err one way or the other, my thoughts on that. And I think we'll, get on the roller and roll out a good wicket.
So I think the key to what you're deeming a flat wicket is still pace. And so a
Of
wicket
course.
with that's flat and doesn't have any pace
Yeah.
becomes turgid, and we've seen that at the SCG, we've seen that at the MCG, and that's when cricket becomes very, very boring. When there's no fear for the batter, or they can simply dominate off the front foot, and the bowlers have no ability to penetrate a defence one way or another. we get ourselves in a bit of a bind as to what a good wicket looks like. And in this case, the pace and the bounce continued even when there was a bit of variable and a little bit of turn, and it made for a fantastic cricket wicket.
Can't wait to do it all again with you tomorrow, Teddy. I hope you've enjoyed this as much as I have, and hopefully, and I know our audience has. I've heard from so many people about the little quick hits at the end of every day's play, where we're 18 days down, final day of the fifth test done, series over, Australia 4, England 1, and what a treat to be able to hear your takeaways at the end of every single day's play throughout the series.
Bobby, I'm the lucky one who gets to hang out with you after people don't see the work that you put in through the day from 8 a.m. to then at the end of a day's play, sit down with me to dissect it. I feel like I'm the lucky one rather than the other way around.
I appreciate it. We'll chat tomorrow. Look forward to doing it all again here on the ABC Cricket Podcast.
Later.
Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.